We are talking today with the author of Dreams and Drama of LeBron's Los Angeles Lakers. It's Yaron Weitzman with us today. It's actually a book called Hollywood Ending. Yaron, how are we doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. A Hollywood Ending, I guess. You've written NBA books before. We've talked with you before. I guess tell us a little bit about this one, your interest in it, and how it came about.
Yeah, it's a book about the LeBron Lakers. Basically, the idea being, you know, I'm curious. I love writing about the power dynamics in sports and the NBA, and sort of how the things we don't see behind the scenes, how they impact what we end up seeing on the court, and the marriage of these two iconic sports institutions of, like, you know, LeBron and the Lakers, bringing and merging them under one roof was something that I thought would be really interesting to unpack, and I think it was. I think the story ended up pretty good, if I may say so myself. I think people would be interested and enjoy.
Yeah, great. Tell me a little bit about, you know, just how would you describe how you kind of, you know, tackled this one a little bit? Obviously, you know, LeBron going to LA, that was such a huge story at the time. And of course, they eventually win that, you know, bubble championship. But you just a lot of good, you know, stories within that. And of course, when it comes to the Lakers, when it comes to LeBron, always some good drama as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wanted to unpack one, like, what's it really like when LeBron's on your team? I think that's really interesting, and I don't think we fully know. Like, there's a lot of assumptions that, oh, he runs the team, and that's not true, right? It's not true. There's plenty of examples. Going back to his year two, when he wanted, it's literally his second year there, he wants the Lakers to hire Ty Lue as the coach. Ty Lue would have been a great candidate. They basically say no because they say no basically because they were cheap and they don't want to pay Ty Lue what Ty Lue thought he deserved as a former champion. So, you know, plenty of examples like that. To what's that actually like? And what, you know, unpack the dynamics between LeBron, the Lakers, and it's so many fascinating, you know, push and pulls in terms of who gets to make decisions, what we end up seeing, what's LeBron actually like. One of the things I found really interesting reporting on him is sort of how he can go in and out. It's a bit of a front runner aspect to him. Like when he gets there the first year, and they're young, and he realizes they're not a championship contender, and he recognizes that, and he kind of checks out. But then the next year, the year of the bubble, even before they're in the bubble, you know, a guy players telling me in training camp that LeBron knew they were championship ready, and he's sending text messages about, like, you know, motivational text messages in training camp and having players only meetings and all these things, being the ultimate leader. So it's just, I don't know, I think LeBron's a really interesting athlete, and as somebody who, anyone who's grown up around his era, he is the guy, right? Like, mm-hmm. He's the definitive athlete of our generation.
Yeah. I did have an opportunity to read an excerpt there in The Athletic here recently about, you know, kind of the story of, you know, the trade for Anthony Davis, kind of, you know, some of the, you know, little, you know, inner workings there, maybe the trade swap, the pick swap stuff, or excuse me, not trade swap, but pick swap stuff that was going back and forth there for a little while. And then also Clutch Sports, of course, the agency for LeBron, they end up, you know, kind of leveraging a deal there. I guess, could you explain that story a little bit?
Yeah, it's really fat. It's really, and this is the stuff I love unpacking, right? So first of all, the Anthony Davis negotiations. Rob Pelinka is hired. You know, if fans remember, Magic Johnson's brought in when Jeannie Buss takes over. Mm-hmm. They bring in, under him, they bring in Rob Pelinka, Kobe's former agent. The idea being, basically, you know, Magic's job is basically to be Magic, right? That's his job title, probably just says Magic on the card. Rob Pelinka is the guy, the former agent, who's in the minutia and understands the cap and all these things. Thing is, Rob Pelinka did not really understand the salary cap really well. He had trouble. That was not his level of expertise. And it was a misplay by the Lakers. Like, Rob Pelinka, his expertise as an agent, as an agent, you have a different job, right? You need to know, like, if you're negotiating for Kobe, you don't need to know the minutia of certain areas of the collective bargaining agreement, right? It's more, just give me all the money you have. So they start going back and forth with the Pelicans over Anthony Davis, and Rob Pelinka's running negotiations at this point. This is after Magic resigns. And at some point, he says to the Pelicans, you know, Jeannie Buss doesn't understand what pick swaps are. Mm-hmm. And the Pelicans general manager, Dave Griffin, goes, okay, why don't you explain it to her. And he goes, okay, well, how would you? And David Griffin was just stunned. And the way he took it was along the lines of, like, you know, my friend, in quotes, has a problem. What would you say to him, right? And he tells his front office, and they start laughing. So all that happens, and Rob Pelinka ends up messing up, and they basically mess up a salary cap. They should execute the trade at a different point. The minutiae doesn't matter, but the point being, they need to convince Anthony Davis to waive his trade kicker because they still want to sign Kawhi Leonard as a free agent. They thought they had a shot. Clutch Sports said, you don't have a shot, but here's the deal. We'll let Anthony Davis, he'll agree to give up his $4 million or whatever the number was if you promise to sign Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to an extension if you guys don't get Kawhi, and we know you're not going to get Kawhi. The Lakers don't get Kawhi. Davis waives his trade kicker. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a clutch client, gets signed. And to me, it's just a great example of how power dynamics work behind the scenes and how things are leveraged.
Yeah, very interesting. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, KCP, ended up being a big part of that championship too. Talking with Yaron Weitzman again, a Hollywood ending new book out on the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James, kind of the, you know, dreams and drama of LeBron's Los Angeles Lakers career to this point. You know, Yaron, you got a little, you know, Jeff Perlman, who has written stories about the Lakers. I, you know, read about his, you know, his response to the book, In This Age of Ass-Kissing Hagiography. Along comes Yaron Weitzman with a Hollywood ending, a raw, unflinching look at the LeBron Lakers that will render basketball fans riveted and team executives seething. This is how it should be done. I mean, what's it mean to hear that from a guy like Jeff Perlman?
That's great. Jeff is, so I actually first met Jeff's like a mentor, and he laughs when I say that, but Jeff, I've met Jeff, we had a writer friend introduced me. I met him about 15, 20 years ago, honestly, at a coffee shop at New Rochelle's in college, you know, saying, I want to do this, and what do I do? And he is, so to have him say that to me, and we both, you know, I'll plug him. He has a book on Tupac that came out yesterday as well, came out this week. So for us to have books come out at the same time, it's pretty, pretty wild and pretty cool.
Yeah. For you, Yaron, what are your big takeaways from, you know, kind of how the Lakers are run? There's, you know, I'm actually, you know, full disclosure, a Lakers fan, and certainly with the change in ownership coming up, I do have a little bit of hope, because over the years, I think a lot of people, maybe it's a misnomer that Los Angeles is a bit, you know, there's lots of money being spent. And for me, I pay a lot of close attention. It's more like a mom and pop shop when it comes to the Buss family, given, you know, this is their business. What are your thoughts on the ownership change and kind of, you know, how that may change how things are run there within the Lakers?
No, for sure. The thing is, I always laugh. You're right and wrong. What I mean is, like, yeah, there is a mom and pop shop aspect to that. It's unnecessary. That's the part that I always kind of push back on, right? And I'll give examples. But like yes, this is their main business, so they're not, you know, they're not like running private. These are not private equity titans who bought the team, right? And are, but the Lakers have the largest local sports cable deal in the NBA, maybe all sports, but the NBA for sure. That's so they print money there. The Buss family themselves get paid, called salary or dividends, whatever, off like from the trust, like that. Everyone there is taken care of, right? Everyone's fine. So there's no, and obviously the teams sell out and sponsorships and all that stuff, right? Like that stuff's all there if they want it to be, as being the LA Lakers, right? So they don't have to be, like Jeannie Buss doesn't have a, you know, pre-sale, let's say, before the sale. She did not have a, you know, $10 billion net worth the way maybe, I don't know, a Josh Harris does, right? But like we don't need a nickel and dime. That said, they often do, and often do. And there are all types of examples. I mentioned Ty Lue, right? That's an example. Yeah. They think like, oh, we give Lakers coaches 3-year deals, and that is it. And it's up to them to take it because we're special and we're the Lakers. I have examples in the book of them making like staffers pay for their own way to summer league because they don't think they're necessary to be there. And if they want to go, fine, but like they can come, but they have to pay their own way. And these are guys who are making, you know, $60,000, right? These are not guys who are making, you know, tons of money. People flying out for interviews, paying their own way, all kinds of examples of this in the book where just we are, the term that was given to me often was penny pinching. In fact checking, Jeannie Buss and the Lakers got very sensitive about that and really pushed back on that stuff. But the only example, the best thing I can say is I'll pat myself on the back a little bit. I had this stuff in the book before the team sold. After the team was sold, you all of a sudden saw a bunch of, or after the announcement of the sale was done, you all of a sudden saw a bunch of links and stories about examples of the Lakers being cheap, right? That suddenly people were willing to write. So I'm saying it like, yeah, I think the ownership will see some changes for sure. Yeah.
It's interesting. That's not how Jerry Buss ran things, is it?
Yes and no, not fully. Mm-hmm. It was in and out. I mean, yeah, the short answer is no, but like he, Right, with Shaq, like some of it, he was hardball. It's funny you say that because Jeannie would say yes, right? Jeannie would say, my dad did this and nobody seemed to care, but when I do it, people care, right? But it's also funny because she says that while also saying, but I don't do it, right? So it's kind of talking on both sides. So I don't know what the answer is. Yeah, like you could see, like Jerry didn't want to pay Shaq with that big extension later in his career, right? But that might have also been more of a basketball decision, right? Like, I don't know. But he took care of Magic for sure. Like, he took care of Magic and offered him a percentage of the team and things like that. It was a different time too, right? I don't know. To be honest, I don't know if Jerry West is like getting paid small salary. It was a different era right then, where now these teams all have beefed up analytics staffs and performance staffs and things like that. It's like a different era.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And as Jerry Buss's era, there was a lot of owners like him that the business was the NBA franchise, and not so much like you said, the tycoons and whatnot. But Yaron Weitzman again, author of A Hollywood Ending: LeBron and the Los Angeles Lakers Dreams and Drama. Again, Yaron, we really appreciate the time. Thanks a lot, and congrats on the book. How can folks find it?
You can find it anywhere you buy books. I don't know. I'm on all social media platforms. You can check those out whenever you want. And yeah, I mean, Amazon, Barnes and Noble. We love supporting local bookstores, obviously. But wherever you want, it's everywhere, I
Right
believe.
on. Yaron, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.